here with Imelda May. Imelda, welcome to the studios here.
Hello. Thank you for having myself and Daryl.
Yeah. Daryl, the lead guitarist, Daryl?
Yeah.
Yep. Lead guitarist.
Lead guitarist.
And husband.
The chauffeur.
And husband?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Did you not?
So,
most kept secret in showbiz.
Are you kidding me? Let's go ahead and get to that question then. What is it like touring with this beautiful, famous woman, Daryl?
It's beautiful. she's a lovely, she's a lovely star, lovely wife. So, she does, she looks after us all, does all our washing and keeps
No.
Yeah. I don't do all the band's washing, just Gerald. I wouldn't touch the rest of the guys' washing.
She keeps you all in line, basically.
Pretty much. Here.
Oh, yeah.
I understand. This is not your first time in Lexington. You were here a few months ago down at the Singletary Center for the Arts.
Yeah.
Fantastic show there. You sold out show last night at the Kentucky Theater at Woodsong's Old Time Radio Hour. And you got a brand new CD. If you didn't have a chance to see her the two times recently, you can hear her new CD. It's called Mayhem, and it's out now. Tell us a little bit about Mayhem, Imelda.
Mayhem, I suppose I called it Mayhem because it's a mixture of a lot of music that I love, and what I do is kind of a mixture of, there's lots of rootsy music, there's lots of rockabilly, blues, bit of jazz in there, bit of kind of post-punk mentalness.
Well, anybody that knows anything about you knows that rockabilly is the key word here.
Yeah,
but I was a little curious to see that you covered Tainted Love on this record.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great song. Well, that came about almost by accident. We were asked to do for a radio show in England a cover, and a well-known cover. So, of course, everything that I said, I thought was well-known, but, you know, it's a niche thing that I like. So they kept saying, no, no, no. And we had a jam session the night before and played Tainted Love, so I thought, well, let's do that. And, of course, the switchboard went mad for it, and people kept asking for it at gigs, and where can we get it? And so we just thought, well, let's throw it onto the CD. And it's kind of a mixture between the original Gloria Jones soul female vocals with a mixture of the Dave Phillips kind of rocking sound as well.
But you've been at this for a long time. You actually picked up your guitar at the age of 9, I believe?
No, 13.
13. But you fell in love with rockabilly a long time ago. And the first song you played on guitar was
Blue Moon of Kentucky.
Yeah. What compelled you to pick up that one?
Well, I got into the rockabilly through my brother Fintan, who's a big old rockabilly still, and I loved the early Elvis stuff and the Sun Sessions and all that, and I just loved that early stuff. And it was in school, I was asked, it was with the nuns, we were asked we could do a song of our choice for one day, and of course everybody was doing pop songs, and I came out with Blue Moon of Kentucky, which made me quite weird in the school at the time, but I just loved the song. I thought it was a great song, so that was my little party piece for a while when I was a kid.
We're so glad it turned out that way. Let's go ahead and hear something live. What are you going to do?
Well, we can do Blue Moon of Kentucky if you like.
Absolutely. This is Imelda May live on WUKY.
Keep on shining, shine on the one that's gone left me blue. I said, blue moon of Kentucky, keep on shining, shine on the one that's gone left me blue. Well, it was on the moon the night the stars shone bright, winds blew high and love said goodbye. Keep on shining, shine on the one that's gone and left me blue. Goodbye, blue moon of Kentucky, keep on are shining. Mm-mm. Shine on the one that's gonna left me blue. Yeah, shine on the one that's gonna left me blue. Shine on the one that's gonna left me blue.
Nice guitar work, Daryl.
He's great, isn't he?
And isn't he good?
Yeah, he's very good.
I think
good.
Maybe you guys work pretty good together. That is Imelda May live on WKY. We're so glad to have you here. It's a real treat. You've been at this, like I said, for a long time. You actually got into the burlesque clubs at the age of 16. How'd your dad feel about that?
Oh, well, no, it was a bit later that I got into the burlesque clubs. Right. But no, my dad was fine with that. It was my mother had a problem.
Oh. What were some of the things she said?
Well, she was worried because, you know, I'm not, she was presuming it was like a seedy strip club, but it was good fun to get involved. It was quite arty, actually, and mostly women in the audience, and there was lots of circus performers and fire eaters, sword swallowers, and beautiful, beautiful dancers doing the striptease, but in a real 1920s Louise Brooks with big giant feather white fans and diamonds and fabulous lighting. It was a really good fun time, and I didn't I was fully clothed, but I used to sing for some of the acts if they were doing. Sometimes I'd do Les Paul and Mary Ford's smoke rings while somebody had an act that was actually making weird smoke rings, and it was good fun.
Sounds good. Yeah. What a great way to grow up so quickly, though.
Yeah. Well, at 16 was when I started singing, and that's when I started to go to the music clubs. That was a lot earlier, and I absolutely loved it. I went in, and there was jam sessions and open mic sessions, and I basically used to sit there and hope that somebody would ask me to sing and write all the keys up my arm if they were for particular songs, and I basically got there as a kid and never left. And my family were very supportive. My brothers used to come with me to keep an eye on me, and
yeah.
it was great. Yeah,
good guys. Now you've got this guy over here to keep an eye on you.
Yes.
And now, what do you consider your break? At what point do you feel that things started to turn for you?
Well, two things. One, when I started my own band, I'd been writing my own songs for a long time. And as soon as I did that, actually thanks to Daryl, because I was in a regular band and had regular work and money doing function gigs at everything from funerals to parties, weddings, bar mitzvahs, and it was not what my heart wasn't in it.
Wait a minute, hold on a second here. Let me stop for a second. Funerals. You played, what kind of music were you playing at funerals? Somber?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very solemn.
I was thinking, you know, let's celebrate. Yes. What a way to go.
So yeah, I was asked to do a lot of strange things. So, but Daryl, because with a lot of musicians aren't even self-employed, you know how hard it is if, you know, you have a regular wage to leave that. And sometimes it was our only regular wage because Daryl was on tour as well. And we were in separate bands. So Daryl was the one who said, go for it. So I left the band and started up my own band, asked Daryl to join. And then things started to move very quickly. People started coming to the gigs. There was some kind of an electricity or a little buzz going on.
Yeah.
And things started to move very fast. And the second one I was saying was Jules Holland. Jules Holland heard us and we went on tour with him. We went on his radio show and then he put us on his TV show, which is one of the main music shows in England.
On BBC,
yeah. And the next day, it just went crazy. Record companies who'd turned me down all of a sudden were calling and saying we'd like to talk again, and I got a record deal with Universal.
How does the internet play into all of this?
Oh, I don't know. I'm a bit of a technophobe that way. Yeah.
That's fine.
I suppose word of mouth is still very, very
powerful.
Very powerful, yeah.
Mm. I want to talk about some of the folks you've been involved with. Now, you were working with Sir Paul before you actually met Imelda. Is this right?
No, I again, like Imelda, I mean, my band was kind of a function band. So I played a lot of weird and wonderful places. And occasionally you would get a job working for somebody famous who just happened to want a rockabilly band at a party for some reason. And I was at this party and Paul McCartney was there and he jumped up and sang a couple of songs.
It wasn't just any party. He was asked to play for Stella McCartney's wedding.
Nice.
He's doing himself out of that one. And Paul
humility.
Humility. Paul McCartney jumped up and they were playing
Nobody
together
knows
for a while.
Who Paul McCartney
Chrissy
is.
Hynde was doing back on vocals. It sounded like a great
tell
gig.
Tell me. You gotta tell me what was downplaying. What was it like, Daryl?
Well, it was a great meeting somebody that had met Elvis. So I was very impressed with that.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I'm not a big
Amazing, that's the first thing that came to your mind.
Yeah. There was two things that I was impressed with. First of all, that he'd met Elvis, and that he had worked with Gene Vincent. So those two things, to me, were fabulous. It didn't matter that he was in a band called The Beatles after that.
Yeah.
The fact that he'd met Elvis.
That was his first band.
Yeah. And that he'd worked with Gene Vincent was very, very impressive. And I said, you know, what was it like working with Gene Vincent? I'm a huge, well, both of us are, Mildred and myself. And he said, Gene Vincent was great, but he was absolutely mad as a box of frogs and kept a gun with him all the time. And kept threatening him with a gun and that. But that's great. That's the sort of stories you want to hear about Gene Vincent.
Yeah.
Now, not to be outdone, I tell you what, when I saw you on stage at the Grammys with Jeff Beck, I was absolutely floored.
Oh,
what an incredible performance. That was, in my opinion, of that particular night, that was the highlight of the show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Tell us about what that was like for you. And, of course, you're on Jeff's latest record, too.
Yeah. Emotional. Yes. Well, it was great to be asked by Jeff to do it. It's great to work with Jeff. He's an absolute genius. And it was great. Daryl was on that also. And but to get on to a show like the Grammys, to be asked to perform on that is absolutely amazing. But to do it as a tribute to Les Paul and Mary Ford for me was a major thing that a show like the Grammys would do a tribute like that, and for me to be able to be part of that was a huge, huge thing, because you wouldn't have a show like for the music that you have at the Grammys if it wasn't for Les Paul. So it was a right and proper tribute, and I hoped I was doing Mary Ford justice.
Absolutely.
Because she was a fantastic talent also.
And now another one of your, I'm guessing one of your faves, Wanda Jackson.
Oh, I love her. She's brilliant.
She's the Philly of rockabilly. Is that what it is? Is that her nickname?
Yeah, she's the queen of rockabilly.
Yeah,
she's definitely the queen.
And that
of rockabilly.
Was that at Bonnaroo?
Yeah, I got to work with her in New York as well, and in London, and we've duetted a few times, and I'd love to record with her actually. And I
really.
I was delighted because I've been a big fan of hers.
Of course.
And, you know,
it goes without saying.
Well, for anybody who's not familiar with her, she really paved the way for a lot of female performers. And at a time where it was unusual for a woman to really rock out, she really did that. And she looked stunning and she played great, wrote great songs. And she was, and she still is, very sassy and sexy, but also very classy.
Thanks to Jack White, she was able to put another record out.
Yeah.
Very, very nice stuff. Have you got that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And she's another given. What am I talking about?
She's definitely an idol of mine. And she's also done other things. She's done a lot of country. She's a devout Christian, and she's done a lot of Christian music. When she had a family, she took time off to raise her kids and then went back into the music business again. I mean, she's really someone to look up to, and still has a terrific career. And sings as great as always, and a lovely husband that goes with her on tour and is her manager. So, I mean, she's a great, glamorous, sassy woman to look up to. So I was delighted when I met her personally to find that she was everything and more that I wished for, and a good party animal to throw into the mix as well. Yeah, she's a great woman.
Somehow I kind of knew that would be the case.
Yeah, she's great.
Tell us about your songwriting process.
Well, it depends. Sometimes I'll write when I'm walking the dog or doing the dishes, or a lot of the time it's when I'm doing something mundane. My brain goes into overtime.
And that leads me to the next question. I understand you were out walking around downtown over the weekend.
Yes.
And you ran
inspired.
You ran across something on the sidewalk. Tell us your story.
Well, I read Jimmy Palm.
Well,
It's very quick.
Do you want to tell us what it's all about?
No, how? No. Sure,
okay, go ahead.
Do. You don't want me rambling on more than necessary, because you can't stop me then.
Roll on.
Okay. Smiley Pete was a soul of the street in Lexington, Kentucky. He had a great big smile, and for most of the while, life seemed real lucky. He had a lot of friends that took care of him and showed him real love and affection. In return for that, he brought together the community with no exception. He had a routine from day to day, just like you and me, I suppose, and he knew the best spots to eat and drink. Here's how little of that goes. He'd breakfast at Brandy's, then mosey on down for a token beer at Turf Bar. When he fancied a treat, he'd get something sweet from the people at Short Lime and Liquor. Biscuits and water from Carter's Supply was a blessing left by the door, and instead of a smoke, he'd get a long soak from the folks at the cigar store. He'd pop down to the theatre at the end of each night for a popcorn to finish his day. But on June 18th, 1957, old Pete quietly passed away. Pete touched the lives of everyone. He belonged to all and no one in town. So much loved and missed by all, he has his own plaque laid down. Pete was not human, but a dog, you see, and a friend to all he'd meet. So this isn't a nod to just any old dog. It's the legend of Smiley Pete.
What a lovely tribute. Thank you so much for writing that, especially for all us Lexingtonians. And if that didn't bring a tear to your eye, you know, it's just, there's something wrong with you.
Exactly.
And how lucky are you to be around this woman, to write poetry like this and have these kinds of feelings and thoughts coming out?
Well,
dude, do you realize how lucky you are?
Oh, every day I wake up.
Very good.
Every day.
Let me remind you.
But I was very touched by that plaque when we saw it, when we was downtown and we saw this plaque to Smiley Pete, and we were both intrigued because we're both huge dog lovers. We have our own dog, a border collie called Alf, who was born on the same day as Elvis, January the 8th.
Get out of here.
Yeah, that was a weird coincidence. Yeah.
Imagine. Yeah.
So we love our dog, and you know, anytime we see a story concerning a dog in a place where we're on tour, you know, it touches us, and I thought that was a lovely poem.
Well, to come across the, we came across the plaque as we walked around downtown in Lexington, and it didn't say much about it other than he was a friend to all and a friend of all, Smiley Pete, and the date and a picture of a dog. And we travel around a lot, we see all over the world, and you see plaques to heroes and politicians, and we never see one to a dog, and it's such a lovely thing for people to have done. Really, and he must have been there. He must have brought the community together in a way, I suppose. Just one little old smelly dog, you know? Isn't it lovely?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you're going to play another song for us now. This is the title track, I do believe, to your latest Mayhem.
Yeah.
Mayhem. What's this song about? Is it obvious?
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
Okay. Imelda May live on WUKY.
He said he didn't even hear trains, let alone the few words the ladies may be saying about him. She freaks and tells her closest friend that she never love again, but she never known I ever live without him. Wouldn't believe it if you seen it. Oh, mayhem, do 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 be a mayhem, do 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 be a mayhem, do 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 a lot of mayhem. Oh yeah. Said he didn't mean a thing, so she threw a diamond ring out the window of a black cab in Camden. He couldn't take what she did, so he threw a hissy fit, and he took it out on anyone around him. Wouldn't believe it. Oh no, no, if you've seen it. Oh yeah, mayhem, do 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 be a mayhem, do 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 be a mayhem, do 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 a lot of mayhem. Oh yeah. Din and sound, lights spinning round, summer, the sun, got a fight, oh, got to run, 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 run. Then he starts a fight and he lands himself a night in a cell wearing gray pants and bruises. 12 mates banging on the door, oh, the back of fans galore. Never saw such a street full of losers. Wouldn't believe it. Oh no, no, if you've seen it. Oh yeah, mayhem, do 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 be a mayhem, do do.
a natural. Fantastic stuff. That is Imelda May, and she's here with her husband and guitarist Daryl Higham and his Gresh. Beautiful guitar, by the way.
Thank you very much.
What's the year on that, by the way?
Well, this is a custom shop, so it's made to look and sound exactly like a mid-50s Gretsch 6120, but it's based on the Eddie Cochran model.
Decca recording artist Imelda May, the newest CD is called Mayhem. It's in stores everywhere. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks very much for having us.
Safe things to you on the road, and come back, will you?
Yeah, I'd love to. I love it around here, so I'd love to. And the hospitality, I have to say, has been terrific since we got here, and we've been all well fed and watered, so thank you very much to everybody who did that.